The gulf that separated me from Christ my Lord. It was so vast, the crossing I could never ford. I cried, dear Lord, no, sorry. From where I was to his domain, it seems so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot get to where you are. He came to me. Join in, please. He came to me when I couldn't get to where he was. He came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. When I couldn't get to where he was, he came to me. He came to me when I was bound in chains of my sin. He came to me when I possessed no hope within. He picked me up and took me gently to his side, where today in his sweet love I now abide. He came to me. He came to me when I couldn't come to where he was. He came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. When I can come to where he was, he came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. When I can come to where he was, he came to me. When I can come to where he was, he came to me.
Down. Amen. When he condescends. Hallelujah. And it's nice to sing those songs that question the inner man. Amen. That bring us into his presence. Amen. Then we realize, my, woe is me. I'm a man undone. Hallelujah. Let's sing. Hallelujah. Let's sing that. Down from his glory, never let his glory. Savior came, and Jesus was born in us. He was born in a manger to his own store. He's not a stranger to us this morning. A man of sorrows, grief, and I'm glad he looks at us this morning.
Redemption that in the dead of night.
blood is up. The shed blood is substance. He took the form. He took the form of man.
Let's give him a hand clap this morning. Hallelujah. Wonderful Lord. Hallelujah. Create in us a clean heart. Cast away those things that detest you. Create in me a clean heart. And with your right spirit within, create in me this morning, Lord. Creating me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. One more time, creating me a clean heart this morning. Oh, creating me a in us this morning, Lord. Coming soon. Hallelujah. Amen.
So no wondrous truths.
But soon our Savior will be here. Hallelujah.
We shall King of Kings, Lord of.
Holy Spirit.
Lord, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we want to glory. Oh, Father, we do appreciate you, Jesus. Oh, Father. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, Father, how we appreciate you today, Lord. Father, you are so good, Lord. Father, you are faithful and you're kind, Father. How we just want to worship thee, Lord, upon this day. How we just want to lay ourselves before thee, Lord. Be glorified, Lord. Thank you that you inhabit the praises of your people. Thank you, Father, Lord, for fellowshipping and communing with us, Lord. Father, we just want to give you the preeminence, Lord, upon this day. Have thine own way, Lord. We ask and pray, bless your people, touch your people. Father, thank you for worship. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you that you are our God. Oh, Father, thank we do not worship the gods of this world, but we worship you. Oh, Jesus, we love you today. We're so grateful, Lord. Father, continue to be with us, Lord. Oh, be glorified, Lord. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord. It's exciting, saints. I will restore, saith the Lord. He said it and he does it, saints. Saints, me, I'm so excited these days in my soul. He said, I will restore all the years that the palmer worm and the canker. Remember that few weeks back we said it? We said, the days of those bugs are numbered. By the grace of God, friends. They sure ain't feeling comfortable in this place anymore. So let's push on. Really do appreciate it, saints. Really do appreciate everyone who's come today. Appreciate the Friday meetings. Amen. Wonderful. May the Lord continue on like that. Appreciate so much at this time the work the deacons are doing. Tremendous job, saints. The feedback from the saints, the honesty of the saints, it's been real helpful. You know, so you just keep us in prayer that we keep on in the process that we're going in. You can already see it's making a difference. So may the Lord be glorified. So glad to see the saints back from their journey to Poland. Brother Greg, Sister Olga. Baptism today. Brother Alex is getting baptized. Amen. Really thankful for that. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is visiting Carlo. May it continue on. Let's open Exodus chapter 24. Let's get into the scripture. We have a couple of requests here as well. Let's pray for Dion and Denzel, who are writing the exams from Wednesday. May the Lord be with them. And also Sister Teriro is asking for prayer. She's gone to the UK. And we have, Brother Will did a tremendous job getting some children's song books printed for the Sunday school. Amen. Real good job. We really do appreciate it. Picture of the Sunday school on the back. Various songs inside. That's a tremendous thing. So we want to dedicate those to the Lord. Let's read the scripture first, and then we'll put these things before the Lord in prayer. Exodus 24, let's read from verse 15 up to 18. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Amen. And then chapter 25, let's read verse 8 and verse 9. What did the Lord say to him in the mount? Chapter 25, verse 8. And let them make me a sanctuary, Amen. That I might dwell among them. Amen. According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. Amen. Father, bring in ourselves. Father, bring in your word. Bring in these requests up unto thee. We thank you for our brother and our sister that are looking unto thee for wisdom for the exams. Father, we think of the Hebrew children. Father, we think of how you promoted them to great honor. Father, they never compromised, Lord. They never ate of the king's table in that day. But Father, you promoted them, Lord, above their equals in that age. Father, may you bless and help and lead and guide and establish, we'd pray. Our sister that's traveled to watch over and keep her, Lord, we'd ask, Lord, and these songbooks, Lord, Father, we just want to bring these things unto thee. To ask of thee, Lord, that you'd overshadow these songbooks and bless them. That as our children would sing, Father, Lord, that they would really experience you in worship. That Father, you would lead them and guide them and use this instrumentality, Lord, to open up another dimension, Lord, that they may experience your presence. That they may experience, Lord, that realm where their souls, Lord, may come in fellowship and contact with you. Bless our young people. Help them. And Father, your word upon this day, we're looking into thee. Bless us, even as we'd come towards the baptism service. Our brother, Lord, that you've drawn him unto yourself. Father, we pray your grace, we pray your mercy and your blessing upon him. Dedicating all your people up to thee. Brother Tom, Brother George Quinn, Brother Christian, Brother Billy. Touch your people this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, you may be seated. We're just continuing on our topic here, just looking at what we believe and why. But it's going to change the topic a little bit here, and you'll understand why. It's just something that really struck me just this week. Like I said, this topic of divine order and worship, it's a real, real virtuous one. You know, it's one of those topics where there's just far too much in it. And we only have so much time in a week that we're together. So it really makes you nervous in a sense of what to say and what not to say. Because you're trying to find something which will really, really help us to understand and to lead us to a spiritual revelation of what God's order is in this age. Which includes, like we said last week, church order. But when we think of church order, we'll get on to today, the order of the sanctuary. You know, why did the prophets say certain things and want certain things done? But like we said last week, without a spiritual understanding of what's happening in the spiritual realm behind these things, you know, just doing something, it can just be, you know, just a duty or a responsibility, or it can feel like a burden upon people. But if you catch a revelation of, you know, the purpose behind something, you know, I think it's so much easier to do something in the right spirit, which brings the real blessing out of something when you do it with a spirit of revelation. I believe you should still do it if you don't have a spirit of revelation. You know, I was reading in the Generations book this week, and the one brother came, I think it was Brother Earl Martin, one of them came to the prophet and said, "Brother Branham, I believe everything you say, but there's a lot that I don't understand." And he says, "It's fine, you just keep believing it, and one day you'll understand it." And I think that's the right kind of an attitude. You know, if you realize who a prophet is, if you realize where a prophet came from and the purpose of a prophet, when he says things that you don't understand, accept them anyhow. And you have the right attitude, and God's going to grant you the spiritual revelation, the real spiritual understanding of what it all means down the way. But I think that's what obedience really is. You know, I don't think the Lord really likes it like Zechariah in the temple when the angel came to him. And he was like, you're saying to the angel, you know, I don't believe that, prove it to me. Now, there's nothing wrong with questioning something like Mary to say, how can this be? But her attitude wasn't an attitude of unbelief. She wasn't challenging what was said. She wasn't saying, you need to prove this to me. Like Thomas, when he says, unless I can put my fingers in the wounds, I'm not going to believe that he's risen. The Lord doesn't bless that. But to have a genuine question where you don't understand something and you're seeking spiritual light upon a certain topic, as long as you're approaching it that way, say, I believe this because you're an angel who comes from the presence of God. I know you're not going to come from the presence of God and tell me something which isn't going to be a benefit to me. You know, but please, I'm just seeking a full understanding. How can these things be? So I think it's real good to have those kind of questions, but I think we can only do things in a real acceptable way and more excellent sacrifice. Like Abel offered, if it's by faith, if we understand and have a revelation of what it's for and why did the Lord want to establish this kind of a worship. You know, and we've just seen it there, what we're reading in the scripture about Moses. You know, when we're speaking about worship, we mentioned it last week. When we're speaking about God's divine order of worship, it's a very important subject, especially at its Exodus time. Amen. We're in the time of the third Exodus. No, Moses brought out the first Exodus, the pillar of fire coming back. And then Paul came with the second Exodus, the pillar of fire coming back. We're now in the third and final Exodus. And whenever God calls for an Exodus, God comes and unveils everything in an Exodus. And that includes worship, that includes order, that includes conduct, order, and doctrine. You know, I just really was thinking of it yesterday. I think we very lightly esteem, although we used to so much, and especially in the days of our youth, those red volumes of conduct, order, and doctrine. Now, those books, if you had really realized who it is, you know, the office of who it is that God used to bring those things to us, I really do believe we'd really go and read those things again and prayerfully study some of the things that were said. And try to order our lives and get them in harmony with the revelation of that conduct, order, and doctrine that has been revealed. You know, because that means you've got a revelation of, you know, who you are under the ministry of a prophet, which is an important thing. Now, looking, trying to just get an overall picture at the beginning. I thought maybe the only way is to try to put a few pictures, a few slides, to try to show what are we trying to say here? You know, why is it we don't just want to do things like anybody else? Now, why doesn't our church just follow any other order? You know, many of us came from Pentecostal churches, came from denominational churches. We all came with our different ideas of how things should be done, how things should operate. And then all of a sudden you get in the message and it's just completely different. Amen. I remember speaking to Brother Dima from Latvia, from Ventspils, and he said that a whole lot of new people came in when he came in. There was a big move of God in their town. And when church order was put in, so many of the people left. And they said, you're trying to put us in a prison house. That's what they thought that it was. But they didn't have any spiritual understanding of things. And the first thing that we really need to understand when you're looking at anything to do with divine order is that we are His body. Amen. God is supreme. Amen. You know, we belong to Him. Amen. He doesn't belong to us in that sense. Now, this is God's program. This is God's plan. And if we want to receive the blessing, we've got to see it His way. We don't try to get Him to see it our way or try to modify things in that kind of a way. But, you know, God is supreme and His order has to be supreme. And as long as we always keep that revelation, but in Laodicea, it's not such an easy thing. Because the spirit of Laodicea is to challenge God. You know, it's people's opinions. It's people's rights. That's what Laodicea means. So, you know, we have our own opinion, own idea. You know, we don't want people to tell us what to do. We have women's rights. We have equal rights. We have all these rights movement, animal rights and all that going on. It's the spirit of the age. Amen. That you want our rights. We want to be independent. We want to do things our way. Nobody must tell me what to do. That's the spirit of this age. And we know from the satanic Bible, the first principle, do what thou wilt. That is the first commandment in the satanic Bible. Do what you will. This is the fulfillment of all their law. But Jesus came and showed us the way. Not my will, but thy will be done. And that's the first thing that we need to understand is that we have been purchased by a price, the Bible says. Paul says, you are not of your own. You have been bought with a price. We've been redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So, you know, it's not so much our opinions and stuff, but God is very gracious. He wants to bring us willingly into a harmony. Now, He doesn't just come and impose things on us. He wants to really show us the benefits of why He wants things to be done in a certain way. I mean, because the Lord would never come down to us just to tell us to do something just so that we do it. I mean, when He told Abraham, sacrifice your son, there was a deep meaning behind what He was telling him. At that time, maybe Abraham didn't fully understand, but afterwards, Jesus says, Abraham rejoiced because he saw my day. Now, he caught the revelation of what the whole thing meant in the spiritual dimension. And that is why God had to send us a prophet in this age. And that prophet had to come and unveil this book that was veiled. And in this unveiling, it covers everything. Now, it covers everything to do with conduct, order, and doctrine. And it brings us back to divine order. Not to church order, in a sense, because churches have their own order. But it brings the church back into divine order. And I'm sure that's what you want in your life. That's what I want inside of my life. And that's where we need to pull ourselves together and push towards this great vision of this divine order. Because God blesses His order. Now, when things come into a harmony with His will, then He sure makes it known. Now, He sure makes it clear. So, just to have this thought of this Exodus time and God sending a prophet and how this ministry of the prophet unfolded itself. Let's have a look in Exodus chapter 2. We don't have to read it, but just to show how did things start under the first Exodus? It started with the pillar of fire coming back again. That's when the Exodus move started, when Moses met the pillar of fire in an individual meeting in the back part of the desert. That was where this entire thing started from. God had something in His mind. He hasn't yet revealed it to anybody in this age yet. Exodus 2. The only thing we know is God is coming down. And when God comes down, when there's the pillar of fire comes on the scene once again, there's a purpose that God has. He has a divine purpose. He's wanting to unfold something to a certain place, to establish a certain something. And if we can catch that certain something, that's the key to this whole principle. Amen. So in our age, that's what it would be. You know, May 1946, the angel of the Lord walks out of the pillar of fire and comes and commissions a prophet. And then the prophet goes and it comes in public. This is in 1950, Sam Houston Coliseum. The pillar of fire is publicly the photos taken and the FBI investigated and so forth. Same like Moses, he meets the pillar of fire, then he comes down to Egypt, and then God manifests himself. And that whole first beginning of the ministry, the two signs that were given, the first and second pull, was for the purpose of vindicating the prophet. Amen. Was to get the attention of the people, to try to show the people God was on the scene once again. Amen. And that God had a purpose that he was going to establish. And he started it through the ministry of the prophet. But this beginning of the ministry here, these first two signs never had anything to do really with divine order. This never produced a church. This never produced the Exodus. This was simply God getting the attention of the people. Bringing the people together in Goshen, revealing even to those among the Egyptians who maybe feared God in some kind of a way, God was just revealing who he was. That he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. But there was nothing in those two signs to bring forth the church Israel. It was going to take something beyond those two signs. As important as those two signs were to bring forth the church. The prophet says, while they were in Egypt, they were the people of God. But when God called them unto a separation, and they left Egypt, they became the church of God. They became church Israel in the wilderness. So, the next thing that happens to Moses, from chapter 2, we have to get up to chapter 19 when the cloud comes down. When the cloud comes down on Mount Sinai, this is now a change now. Moses has now led the people out of Egypt. The people have caught this revelation. They've seen this great God in action. They've separated themselves from Egypt now. They've separated themselves from the systems of Egypt. They've separated themselves from the fashions and all that to a degree. And they've come out. Amen. They've been baptized in the Red Sea by Moses. There's now the pillar of fire and the cloud. So we've got these two things on the scene. So the cloud comes down now on the mountain. And when the cloud comes down, we're going to find the establishment of the church. Amen. This is where the church began. Was when the cloud came down on the mountain and Moses went up into the cloud. And now when you bring it to our day, there's the cloud. 1963. And the prophet is caught up by this visitation of seven angels. He's seen it before and says, is this the time? He's told, I had this great vision, a great blast went off. I was somewhere north of Tucson. I was picking a goat header off my trousers. And he thought he was going to die because it shook the whole country, he said. Then the Lord revealed to him when the sword came in his hand and says, no, this is your new commission. This is your new ministry. And he goes back to his wife. He says, I'm not going to die. This is just the second climax, the prophet says. It's the next stage in the ministry. And as soon as the cloud comes down, Moses now goes up in the cloud. And what is revealed to Moses in the cloud? Let's go and look in Exodus chapter 24, where we're reading there. Exodus chapter 24, from verse 15 to verse 18. Moses now, from chapter 19, he's up in the cloud. And in verse 20, chapter 24, it says, right at the end, verse 18, and Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. So he breaks into this dimension. This is our seventh seal. He's broken into this dimension. Yeah, it's another realm that hasn't been opened up before. He breaks into a certain place. And chapter 25, verse 1, what's the first thing the Lord starts to unfold to him? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man. And then he says, okay, let everybody now bring forth an offering. We're going to need certain materials now because I'm giving you a vision now of a heavenly pattern. There's something that I want to be established on the earth. Amen. And everybody's going to have a part. Everybody whose heart I stir up. Everybody that's going to come with a free will offering. Moses, this just isn't you that can do this. Amen. I've commissioned you. You're going to see the vision. You're going to see the heavenly pattern, But it's going to take everybody down there who's ordained unto this to bring forth the purpose of this Exodus. And he tells them to do it. Then he says it in verse 8. And let them make me a sanctuary.
Amen.
What for? That I may dwell among them.
Amen.
So the whole purpose that the Lord wants, friends, in anything to do with order, he wants to dwell amidst us.
Amen.
He wants to be real in the midst of his people. But God can only be real under certain circumstances.
Amen.
God will only manifest himself. God will only tabernacle when things are done according to a certain heavenly pattern. When there's a certain divine order that's followed, that's how the prophet preaches the message, the approach to God.
Amen.
And he says, you can't just approach God anyway.
Amen.
You know, we find when we're in Pentecost, people would come with short trousers, putting on baseball caps, coming to church. Nobody there brings their Bible. You know, and it doesn't mean that God doesn't anoint the place. Like I heard Brother Lonnie Jenkins say that. He says, God inhabits the praises of his people. You know, and those people in their worship, they go far beyond us in worship. You take Hosanna and some of those people and some of the songs that they compose. You can't say those songs aren't anointed. Because God anoints that kind of worship. But that's not enough. God wants to dwell in his tabernacle. God wants to be in his Exodus people. He wants to be in the midst of his people. He wants to unfold it so it's not just Moses, but he wants to be in the midst of his people now. That I may dwell among them. Then he says it in verse 9, according to all that I show thee.
Amen.
So there's only one man
Amen.
That had the vision and the revelation of what kind of order needed to be established
Amen.
In order for God to dwell in the midst of his people. And that was Moses when he went in the cloud,
Amen.
Which was the opening of the seals, 1963.
Amen.
Nothing before this, although Moses was always the prophet of God, he was always the prophet messenger, but there'd been nothing yet to bring forth God's pattern of worship. But now when Moses goes up now the full revelation of what this whole thing is about is revealed to Moses. Is God wants to dwell in his tabernacle. And Paul says, no, you know what? You are the temple of the living God. You know, but God's going to come and show it to us in a natural type. And that natural type, we also have natural things here. So there's going to be a natural order as much as there's going to have to be a spiritual order of worship as well. If you could put back the slides there, please, sister, if you don't mind. But that's what he says, and he says that. And then he starts off straight and says, you shall make an ark and all these different utensils. So, what comes after this now? Okay, so the cloud coming down, that's the third pool. In the seventh seal, Abraham says, this is that third pool. And he says it so many times. He says the silence and so forth. We'll get onto it sometime. But what does that produce? All of this is to produce one thing, which is the church. According to the heavenly pattern, the dwelling place of the Shekinah, the dwelling place of the Most High. So God is unveiling this through his prophet. He's going to bring it down his provided way now because God wants to establish his provided place of worship. And this place of worship is completely different to the worship in Egypt. It's completely, they've come out of Egypt. They've brought some of the Egypt worship with them. They made a golden calf. Where did the golden calf come from? That was what they used to worship in Egypt.
Amen.
So they had come out of Egypt, but there was a transition where they hadn't entered into the fullness yet of this perfect divine order of worship, this heavenly pattern of worship.
Mm-hmm.
And now you take the book of Exodus from there and take it through Leviticus, and it's God establishing his worship,
Amen.
Showing people how to approach him, showing people how to minister to him,
Amen.
Showing people how to make acceptable offerings before him,
Amen.
Showing how his tabernacle needs to be established and the order of his tabernacle.
Amen.
But the whole purpose behind it, friends, was God wanted to be real in the midst of his
Amen.
People.
Amen.
And that's what church order is all about. If we lose that, if we lose the reality of what God is trying to do, he wants to be real in the midst of his people. But God can only be real when the heavenly pattern and what's on earth start to line up. And there's a harmony between the heavenly pattern and the actual establishing of it on earth. then the glory is going to come down in the tabernacle. We know that in Exodus 40, when they finished and did everything according to it, then the glory covered and filled the tabernacle until the ministers couldn't minister anymore. And then we find in Solomon's day exactly the same thing. You know, they established it according to that divine pattern, that divine order. You know, and then God came and filled the tabernacle. So that's the whole purpose, friends. And when we look at this tabernacle, that's going to include song worship.
Amen.
They were the sons of Asaph. They were the sons of Korah. They were given to music. There were the various musical instruments and so forth. So under this like seventh seal, this the cloud coming down and God unveiling this mystery of order to Moses once again, everything's revealed in there.
Amen.
It's going to show us the priesthood.
Amen.
How should the priesthood dress? How should the priesthood prepare themselves to the service of the Lord?
Amen.
They needed to be washed. They needed to be anointed. They needed to be dressed right. It all had to be according to this heavenly pattern.
Amen.
And everything that the Lord revealed in this was for a purpose.
Amen.
When he said to the high priest, put two onyx stones, one on each shoulder. The name of six tribes in one, six on the other. There was a meaning behind that.
Amen.
That means like a prophet says, he was to bear the burden of the people.
Amen.
In the presence of the Lord. So everything, although it may have been outward, if you didn't have a revelation, you'd say, why is God telling me to put two stones on my shoulders? You know, and you would go and do that if you didn't have a spiritual revelation. What is God trying to do here? But if you really got near to him and said, Lord, what does this mean? Why do I have to put 12 stones here on my chest? Then the prophet says God's trying to say he needs to have the people on his heart. Now the 12 tribes had to be on his heart. So there was a reason and a purpose for everything that was done. God had a real deep thought and purpose behind everything in this tabernacle. We've seen it when we studied the tabernacle those years gone by.
Amen.
And we just saw that every material had a meaning. Every dimension had a meaning.
Amen.
Everything had a spiritual significance in what was done. But it was easy, like Isaiah saw, that the people lost the spiritual significance of it. And they started coming to the same thing that God had established, and it became a stink in the nostrils of God.
Amen.
He says, this is not pleasing to me anymore. He says, you come and look at the way that you're offering. You're coming and your hands are full of blood and so forth.
Mm.
So though they could still outwardly do the same things, but it didn't bring the blessing anymore. Because there was no more revelation of what all of this was about.
Amen.
And that's why I thought in this season it was good for us to go back and just re-examine what's it all about.
Yeah.
By the grace of God, so that we can catch by his mercy and be ministered into that spiritual reality of what God desires from you and what God
Amen.
Desires from me. So we can better fulfill our duties.
Amen.
So we can better line things up and let's put everything the way that it should be. If anything's revealed as we go, by the grace of God, each and every one of us. So that is what the whole purpose of this was. Now, in Exodus chapter 31, God's going to show us now how is this actually going to go from a heavenly vision to become a reality, something which can be a substance that the people can use and that God can dwell in and that the people can really, really benefit from. And God now starts to show that it's under Moses, there's going to be his ministry. There's going to be people. And that's what he gets into Exodus 31 verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, see, I've called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God. In wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge. And in all manner of workmanship.
Amen.
To devise cunning works. To work in gold and silver and in brass. And in cutting of stones. To set them and in carving of timber. To work in all manner of workmanship. And I behold, I've given with him. It wasn't just one man. Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, and some more, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I put wisdom, that they may make all that I've commanded thee.
Amen.
So there was going to be a people, God is going to put his Spirit in them.
Amen.
There was going to be a song leader that God's going to put his Spirit in. There's going to be musicians, there's going to be deacons and trustees, and there's going to be ministers, evangelists, you know, apostles, teachers, pastors, and so forth. that God is going to put wisdom in according to the way that He's made them, according to their calling and their gifting which is given to them. God is going to overshadow the way that He's made them, and He's going to use them now to take this vision that has been brought by Moses, this heavenly vision, this heavenly pattern, and these brothers and these sisters, it wasn't only brothers, these who God would fill with His Spirit to help to bring to pass God's desire, which was that He may have a tabernacle that He may dwell in. And that was the key. God filled them with His Spirit. God gave them wisdom and understanding in these things. Though they were made in a certain way. I'm sure this man was always good with his hands. I'm sure he was good at his craftsmanship in different ways. But God is saying, that is fine the way you used that gift before. You might have been able to play in the discos, play in the beer hall, play out on the street and make money with your gift. But it's different. Under this seventh seal worship now, it's going to be used in a different way. Amen. That which I've made you for, and that which I've called you for, I'm going to overshadow you and fill you with my Spirit of wisdom. Amen. That you may bring forth what my prophet was seeing in the mountain.
Amen.
When the prophet was caught up into that dimension and he saw this pattern of worship, which was a heavenly pattern, which was the order of worship in heaven, God is now saying, let this be established on earth. And you all have a part to play. I'm going to overshadow you people, but it's all got to fit in with the heavenly pattern that I revealed to my prophet on the mount. When those seals were unveiled, that mystery of God was unveiled. So we can see everything's going to be covered here. And everything, your ministry, your office, your calling, no matter who you are.
Amen.
You know, we'll find it in the message, I do believe. If we search everything that we need, God has revealed everything that we need to be cleansed of our Egyptian worship, our Egyptian ways, our Egyptian conduct, our Egyptian ways of doing things. You know, if we're going to be anointed and come into this dimension that God is opening up to His people, God's going to start to unfold things now that weren't seen in Egypt. God's going to unfold a heavenly something on earth which wasn't seen down there in Egypt. And that's why, friends, surely, if you really think of progressing this all the way, there's got to be a time we don't sing the songs of Egypt.
Amen.
It's true. No, I'm not trying to say we get rid of all the old things the prophet sang. Don't get me wrong. But I don't really believe we need to worship using other people's worship. Hosanna and them were fine in their day. But friends, I really do believe God wants to overshadow His people and bring forth something according to a heavenly pattern. You know, something which was new. You know, something which came forth because of that. And the way that we conduct ourselves as believers, the way we dress. We're not going to dress the way Christians do in denominations. That's Egypt. We were called out of Egypt, and now there's a heavenly pattern. And there's a reason and a purpose. And friends, God came in this visitation to Moses, and He told the woman how to dress. And He told the men how to dress. It even became so specific. It might sound funny, but He told them how to go to the toilet.
Amen.
He told them, you must go so far from the camp, you must bury what you do. You go and find everything is in there.
Amen.
God is trying to real show people how to live a life, natural Israel there, natural cleanliness.
Amen.
A certain conduct which was different than the conduct they had been called out of.
Amen.
And God came and covered everything, showed out who you can marry, who you can't marry, what was a legitimate relationship, what wasn't a legitimate relationship. All of those things are covered in Leviticus and the laws.
Amen.
As well as all the offerings, as well as all of the paying of tithes, as well as all of these things which are part of worship, the prophet
Amen.
Says. This is all part of a heavenly pattern. That's why I said it's a big topic, friends. This isn't a small topic. Because the moment you start getting into it, it's going to break into this and break into that and break into that and break. And you're going to wonder, but which direction are we supposed to go first here to really make sure by the grace of God that our worship is according to the heavenly
Amen.
Pattern? Because that's obviously what you want to do. You know, let's get things perfectly in order so that God can really bless. Now, it's got to be done in faith, like I say, not just done in a mechanical sense. It's got to be done with an understanding and a revelation. Like Bezaleel and Aholiab and them, that God anointed them and filled them with the Spirit of wisdom to bring forth these things which Moses had seen in the mount. And somehow when Moses would come and explain it to them and say, look, the ark's got to be this dimension like this. There's got to be two cherubim with their wings made of gold and their wings have got to touch over the mercy seat and so forth. Somehow these people, they could enter into that vision. And it could be real to them. So, I see it, Moses. I see exactly what God wanted you. And then they would make it. Then Moses would come past and say, that's it. Amen. That's what I saw when I was in the mount. You've done it exactly, you see. And when they all did that and put it in order, what a wonderful end to the chapter, Exodus chapter 40. God came and tabernacled in the midst of church Israel in the wilderness. And that was the purpose that he called him out for, which is what he's called us to as well. Now, I wanted just to speak about spiritual principles here a little bit. The first thing is, why should we listen to Brother Branham on these things? You know, why? There's a lot of people who think they know better than Brother Branham in this message as well, friends. Amen. There's a lot of auditors of the message, a lot of Dathan, Abram, and Korah who've risen up, coming out, and then think God also speaks to us. This man takes too much upon himself. Why should we listen to Brother Branham about these things? When Brother Branham comes, which we'll get onto, and he speaks at the beginning of the Seals book about the order of the of worship in the tabernacle, why should we take it very seriously? Why should it be something which isn't just like an opinion? Oh, well, that was the prophet's opinion, but the conditions have changed. You know, so let's do it now so we can fit in with this modern generation. I mean, it's easy to think like that. So let's think about the spiritual qualifications of the prophet. Because before we can really fully accept what he's going to tell us, we've got to fully accept who this man is. Amen. And the spiritual qualifications this man has.
Amen.
That's the first part in the battle. If you find a sister struggles with trousers, the first thing she needs to catch a revelation of is who Brother Branham was to this age. Because once you catch that revelation and you understand the spiritual qualifications of this man, who this man was in the presence of God, when he comes and he hits against something continually, you're going to start taking that thing very seriously as well. Whether you desire it or not. Now, whether you say, I like these things, but you're going to say, no, Lord, it's not what I like, what my flesh desires, but this is your will.
Amen.
Because you vindicated this man. I just had got this article, I read a little bit from it, called Gifts of Healing Plus. It's F.S. Bosworth. It was 1950. It was published in the Voice of Healing magazine. Now, I got it from the website called williambranhamstorehouse.com. And some of this has been quoted in All Things Are Possible, that book when Harold went and wrote about Brother Branham. And it's outstanding. You know, Brother Bosworth only lived under the first two pulls. He only saw the sign in the hand and he saw the discernment. He was then taken home. But he so much understood what those signs meant. He understood. And he comes in here and he's writing in Voice of Healing in 1950. And he's trying to show the people the significance of this man, William Branham. He's trying to show this isn't just another evangelist.
Amen.
This isn't just somebody who's come with a ministry of praying for the sick. And then he starts it. It's a tremendous thing. If anybody wants it, I'll send you a copy. But he gets on to it and he says, you know, on May 7th, 1946, an angel who had spoken to Brother Branham in audible voice at intervals from his childhood down to the present time finally appeared unto him. And among other things told him, Christ's coming was near. And then he speaks about different things, about the significance of an angel coming to a man. And then he reads now from Exodus 23. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee to the place that I've prepared.
Amen.
So the angel of the Lord, when he came, the angel comes for a purpose.
Amen.
To keep, to protect, to guard his people.
Amen.
Whenever we start getting out of line, it's going to be, get back in line.
Amen.
The angel's going to be there to bring us back in line once again. Because the angel is commissioned to bring us to the place that God has prepared for us. That's his purpose. And then he also reads about Eliezer. And he says, and the Lord said in Genesis 24, the Lord will send his angel with thee and prosper thee in the way.
Amen.
You know, so it's amazing. He realizes that this is a prophet like unto Moses. Because the angel was sent with Moses. And he realized this is a prophet like unto Eliezer.
Amen.
He has the Eliezer commission as well. To go and get the bride in the evening time.
Amen.
By the wells of living waters. We know that. So the angel came for a purpose. So that vindication of the angel of the Lord. Now that's one thing science has never been able to explain.
Amen.
Science looked at it a little bit in Brother Branham's day, then they shrugged their shoulders. We don't understand this. But friends, when you really get yourself into the supernatural part of the message and see what unfolded itself.
Amen.
Science is in trouble.
Amen. That's right.
Because how can a man in the afternoon tell what's going to happen in the evening?
Amen.
A man can come 10,000 times 10,000. Or so many times you'll come and say, the Lord, when I was praying this afternoon, showed me there's going to be a man brought in a wheelchair wearing a red jumper. They're going to bring him in an ambulance and God's going to raise him up. And I'm looking for that man now. I don't see him yet. And it's on tape. You can listen to it yourself. Who knows the future? That's not scientific. That's a paradox. And a Christian is a paradox.
Amen.
And to believe the message is a paradox.
Amen.
It's not just believing scientific things. Science is good up to an extent. Then faith, the supernatural, the unseen kicks in from there.
Amen.
And that's the eternal realm, Paul told us. The things that are seen will be done away with. But it's the things that are unseen that are eternal. So science now just wants to tell us it's only what you can see. Which is a lie. Because God came down and He sends a pillar of fire in this age. And how many times was the pillar of fire photographed? Not only photographed, but we saw the manifestation of the pillar of fire.
Amen.
But science can't understand that. But that's an eternal question that every one of us need to ask. What did that mean?
Amen.
Why? What was this light that would come down and overshadow this man and nothing could be hid from the man? The man could tell you the sins that you did in your past.
Amen.
The man could tell you what was going to happen in the future.
Amen.
When you get home, you're going to find your mother's will.
Amen.
Friends, it's a serious thing.
Amen.
This is another dimension that's come down.
Amen.
This is the seventh seal, friends. This is the coming of the Lord. That's what it's doing for us. It's preparing us for a body change.
Amen.
And under this visitation, under the first two pulls, the prophet explained a lot of supernatural principles. He never did under the third pull. The angel told him, you've caused a lot of carnal impersonation. Don't explain these things. So for us to understand these things, we need to go back to the beginning a little bit. Which is when the prophet would have prayer lines. To understand the significance of spiritual events, spiritual order and conduct, we need to go back and look at the beginning of the prophet's ministry, because he's going to explain a lot of things to us there. Of why certain things shouldn't be done in church. Why certain things should be done. Because friends, to summarize it all, the prophet knew how to maximize the benefit of the visitation of the angel.
Amen.
He knew how you could grieve the angel away. Or he knew how you could get the full benefit from the visitation of the angel. Now that's what this order is all about. Because the angel never went to the prophet. The angel's with us.
Amen.
The angel's with his bride.
Amen.
Revelation 10:7, like we said last week, that came to the prophet. Then John eats the book. He becomes the final voice to the final age. So the angel's taken us to where we're supposed to be. That's the whole purpose of the angel coming. Now, we can now maximize and get things in a certain place to get a real benefit, the real virtue from this visitation. Of the angel who accompanies the bride. Or we can continue on with a lot of Egyptian things. And we never get really much benefit from this angel. You know, so that's what this order is all about. That's why this divine order of the house of worship and our positions and so forth isn't a small thing. It's an extremely important thing. Because so much depends on it for you and for me. For our children and so forth. If we don't want to turn them into unbelievers and so forth. Yeah? It's so important, this order.
Amen.
And the more that I've studied in this, the more that I've seen that, I said, hey, but Amen. Lord, this is so virtuous.
Amen.
But it's a great responsibility. And friends, it just needs us all to pull together.
Amen.
In this season where God has given us grace once again, I think if we had pulled together and if the Lord would help us, I think it could be a real blessing.
Amen.
It could be a real benefit if you get in the spirit of it. So he's speaking about the coming of the prophet. He speaks in about the two signs. He says, notice, God not only sent an angel to be with Moses, He also gave him two perfect miracles as signs and proofs to the people that God had appeared to him and had commissioned him under divine guidance to be their deliverer.
Amen.
But Brother Bosworth only understood physical deliverance, the prayer lines. That was what he was under. He never understood the church needed to be delivered from Egypt as well.
Amen.
The angel wasn't just sent to bring deliverance to the sick and the afflicted and the demon-possessed.
Amen.
The angel came to deliver the church from Egypt through an exodus to bring us to the fullness of the promised land. Now that's the third pull. Brother Boswell didn't live in that. But we understand that. We understand this ministry unfolded. First pull, second pull, the cloud came down, then into the third pull. That's where it unfolded itself. That's the purpose. And then he starts speaking about those two signs that they never failed. You know, and he speaks about the different things. Then he gives the final paragraph which you'll read, which is the one you'll find in that book, All Things Are Possible. And he says, it's called Looking at the Unseen. When the gift is operating, Brother Branham is the most sensitive person to the presence and working of the Holy Spirit and to spiritual realities of any person I've ever known.
Amen.
My, that's a serious spiritual commendation. The most sensitive person to the operation of the supernatural, to the operation of the Holy Spirit of any man that I've ever known. And there were a lot of people, then there was all Roberts, all of them, they all had risen up. But they could see there's something different to this man.
Amen.
When this man moves into that place, and that anointing comes down on this man moves into another dimension that all the rest of these men know nothing about.
Amen.
And he goes on to say now, he says, I asked him, what do you mean? How do you see events before they take place? He replied, just as I see you. Only I know that it's a vision. Just as clearly as one sees material things around them. Brother Branham, while in prayer during the day, sees in vision some of the principal miracles before they take place. He sees some carried in on ambulance cots or sitting in wheelchairs and can describe how they look and how they are dressed, etc. While being shown these miracles in advance, he usually becomes for a time unconscious of things going on around him. He's in a total another dimension. Not once during more than 6 years since receiving the gift have these revelations failed to produce perfect miracles exactly as he had already seen them in the vision.
Amen.
The success of this phase in his ministry is exactly 100%.
Amen.
My. So when this man comes to speak about church order, when he comes to speak about the order of God's house, when he starts to speak about spiritual things and God dealing with his people, this is a man you need to pay attention to.
Amen.
If he was 100% successful under the first and second Amen. Pull, what about under the third pull?
Amen.
Which is unveiling of the mysteries. It's not a light thing that Amen. This man's going to come. He's not just speaking from his own opinions, this man. He goes on to say, he seems to break through the veil of the flesh into the world of spirit and seems to be struck through and through with the sense of the unseen. We know that in those prayer lines. He would see angels. He would see demons. There's a dark shadow over you. And that demon is crying out to this demon over here. Oh, it's epilepsy. This demon's crying out to this one over here. And then when that man comes to tell you, saints, let me tell you how things should be put in order if you want God's blessing in your church. And then we think we know better than that man. I don't think it's a very wise thing for us to do that.
Amen.
I don't think it would do us very good. In the message, At Thy Word, Phoenix, 1950, he says, there's 3,500 souls here today. That's 3,500 spirits. He says, and the condition that I'm in at this time, he was anointed, the angel was there. You can tell it. It's a great pull. He could just feel something in the spiritual realm. Sometimes I try to catch those who are in the back of the audience, way back from me. But there comes what I guess I would call it such a crossfire. This side believing, this one pulling, you can hardly discern. So I've asked my manager maybe if they can bring the sick and afflicted right up around me here so that I won't have any interference. My friends. This is not skim milk that he's speaking here. He's speaking about 3,500 people being a spirit in an audience. And how each of those spirits can influence the meeting. These ones can pull this one, these can pull, and it can cause a crossfire. Now this was faith he's speaking of, but he goes on to say, then when someone with disbelief or a haughty spirit that interferes with that, So the moment somebody would come with disbelief, a critical spirit, a proud, arrogant spirit, straight away the prophet would pick it up. Something's interfering with the order of worship.
Amen.
That's how sensitive things are in the spiritual realm.
Amen.
That's why the angel told him, be careful. Your thoughts in heaven speak louder than your words on earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you think. That's what God hears. That's what God pays attention to. No, so the prophet, he knows this thing. He knows what hinders meetings. He knows what helps meetings. And he goes on to say, he says, I don't know if I have the quote here, but he speaks about how he, many of you might wonder why the people leave the platform at night. He had asked the ministers to leave the platform. He says, that's coming both ways then. You see, it's hard. You can't detect where it's coming from, and you must single that person out. So when God comes down, the angel comes and wanting to deal with the soul of one person or the condition of one person, the prophet needed like there to be a one accord, a harmony, so they could focus and then say, God wants this to be done now. But when there'd be unbelief and criticism and disorder in the meeting, people moving around and so forth, it would break the flow of the Spirit.
Amen.
The prophet would feel an interference. Something's breaking the order of God dealing with his people here. And friends, if that principle was true, then it's true now.
Amen.
It's just as true now. We may not have the gift the prophet had, but God still wants to deal with his people. God still wants to focus on needs and speak to souls and deliver people. And we can hinder that or we can help that by our order and our conduct. That's why church order is so important. Because you may come with your child who's grievously sick one of these days. And there's so much spiritual interference and movement going on in the house of the Lord that God can't do anything, though he had desired to do it. And that's why the prophet would always explain these principles at the beginning of these campaigns. Because he knew the angel's going to come, but in order for this visitation to achieve its purpose, there's certain spiritual order that needs to be followed. And that's what this church order is about. It's about the unseen behind the scene. That you're putting things in place which can be seen because they affect what can't be seen.
Amen.
They hinder the flow of what God is trying to do. And friends, if you catch that revelation, we're getting somewhere now.
Amen.
I really do believe the Lord will help us as individuals. Amen. That when you come late to church in the middle of song worship, you're out of order.
Amen.
You're breaking the flow of worship.
Amen.
Just when God's trying to get people in a one accord or one place, and then we're coming, we're breaking that, or the prophet would pick it up immediately.
Amen.
He said, please stop moving around. Please stop moving. You're disturbing the flow of the Spirit. And if it was true, then it's true now, friends.
Amen.
And when we get up in the middle of the service from the front, we go and walk to the back. And friends, we break the order of the Spirit.
Amen.
It's not the way that it should be.
Amen.
Because the prophet straight away would pick it up. And something would like pull him and he'd look and he'd say, please, stop moving. Please stop moving about. Because God's trying to bring a focus and a one accord and a unity so that he can work his spiritual work in the lives of people through whatever gifts that he puts in the body. He wants to operate the gifts in the body on behalf of his people. But it's going to need Bezalel to be in the Spirit just as much as it's going to need Moses to be in the Spirit. It's going to need Oholiab to be in the Spirit as well. It's going to need the Levitical priesthood to be in their position and their place in the order as well for this whole thing to work together so that God can achieve his purpose and come and tabernacle in the midst of his people and reveal who he is as the God of the Exodus, as the God of Church Israel in the wilderness, or as the God of his bride now in this age. But that's why it's an important topic when you start looking at it down this kind of a way. He says, you can interfere. He says, this is not something new. It's the gospel through the age. It says Jesus, when he went in to raise Jairus' daughter, he put them all out of the house.
Amen.
He says, many times that way. He took a man one time by the hand and led him outside the city, away from the crowds, took them to one side and talked with them. Because Jesus would come, he would come there to Jairus' house. You can read it in Matthew, in Mark chapter 5. He got there and there was such a confusion. And all the people saying, oh, all the crocodile tears. And then he comes and he tells them, she's not dead, she's just sleeping. And they mock him. There's no one accord in that place. And although Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead made flesh, Amen. In that order he can't work.
Amen.
With that confusion, he has to get all the people out. Please go out, go out. Puts them all out. And the prophet says, then he took his campaign men. Peter, James, and John, who understood those principles.
Hallelujah.
Who were in a one accord with him.
Amen.
And he took the parents, because they had a one accord. They wanted their daughter to be raised.
Amen.
They were going to be deadly sincere in what they were doing. And when that order was now established, and Jesus went in with Peter, James, and John, and the parents, there was no spiritual interference anymore.
Amen.
Then Jesus now could catch the mind of the Spirit and see, God wants to raise up. And calls, and she raises from the dead.
Amen.
Friends, it's quite a thing. And with a blind man, the Bible says, let's read that one in Mark 8, verse 23, just to show it's such a spiritual principle. Mark 8, verse 23. Mark 8, verse 23. This is the blind man now. Mark 8, 23. I've got Mark 8, Mark 9, 23. Verse 22, and he came to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. It's like I heard one brother preaching the other day, saying if there was social media in the days of Jesus, he would have been in trouble, you know. It would have been on Facebook. This man spits in the eyes of people.
Yep.
He spat in the eyes of the man. He spat in the eyes of the man. Put his hands upon him and asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking.
Amen.
After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored.
Amen.
And saw every man clearly.
Amen.
And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. They weren't worthy of this.
Amen.
But you can see why Jesus, in order to contact the soul of the man, in order for there to be a free working of God's will and desire at that time, had to take him out of all the unbelief, take him out of all the confusion, lead him out of the town,
Amen.
Get an atmosphere right, and then deal with the man at that time.
Amen.
And it's never changed, friends.
Amen.
And that's what church order is all about.
Amen.
It's trying to get things in that kind of a place. The prophet says, you might think, well, that's psychology. Well, if it is, Paul used it when he looked on a man and said, I perceive you have faith to be healed.
Amen.
Paul somehow picked it up in the spiritual realm that there's something different here.
Amen.
And then he focused on that man.
Amen.
And put all his attention at that time that God wants to deal with this man at this time. The prophet says, and it is psychology in one way. It's the mind of Christ.
Amen.
In the Christian moving. And the mind of Christ hadn't stopped moving, friends.
Amen.
Paul says, we have the mind of Christ. If we get submissive and yielded and we get anointed and we get in the Spirit, it's the mind of Christ. We're starting to see things the way that God sees things. We're starting to conduct ourselves the way, according to the heavenly pattern, the way that He wants things to be conducted. And the closer and closer we move to a harmony with the heavenly pattern, the freer the flow of God's blessing, the freer the flow of His Spirit can be. In whatever calling God's called you to, to whatever gift that God has put inside of your life, God wants to manifest Himself. Now let's get to the seals book. I really liked even just the way it is. I believe all things have a meaning and a purpose.
Amen.
The seven seals book was 1963. This is the result of the cloud.
Amen.
That's what this book is about. Sorry if you can just go back to the previous slide, sister. This is a result of the cloud. And if you look at the beginning, it's really fascinating how this book opens up. It's the first thing the prophet's coming to preach to the tabernacle since he's been caught up by the angels.
Amen.
And he comes to preach the revelation of the seven seals. And then he comes in the very first page, the way they printed it, 1967, they printed it like this. The very first thing that you see when you get in is to the bride of Christ.
Amen.
This book is dedicated. It's not to Egypt, this book, friends.
Amen.
It's to the church.
Amen.
The Exodus people.
Amen.
That's what's becoming now. Before, the prophets ministered to many other people. He's ministered to the Methodists, the Baptists, so forth. But from 1963, it's to the bride of Christ.
Amen.
And then the next picture now shows how it started. It started when the pillar of fire came. That's how this great move started. This is the bride's book. And then the next one shows the cloud.
Amen.
So it unfolded from 1946, the pillar of fire. It's now come to the cloud.
Amen.
And then from the cloud, we get the message.
Amen.
Straight from there. But on page 2 of the message, let's read what he says.
Amen.
It's really interesting, friends. It's exactly the same as the Exodus. You'll see it.
Amen.
Moses comes down from the cloud. He's previously been vindicated by the pillar of fire. He catches the vision when he's caught up in the cloud. And he comes now and he speaks about Bezalel and Oholiab and those ones. The prophet comes down in paragraph 8. I'm in great appreciations and thank the congregation. And speak these words in behalf of our good brethren here of the church who has dedicated their services to this. They've just rebuilt the tabernacle. Brother Banks Woods, Brother Robeson, and so forth. When I see this pulpit, I was thinking of Brother Brian, the kind I've always longed for all my life. Some other prophet, he always desired a certain pulpit. And these brothers, when the cloud came down, imagine what's happened just before this. To show how they were in harmony with the prophet, he comes and says, this is the time. 6 dreams. And then the vision kept it.
Amen.
And 6 people came with dreams exactly in line with the prophet's vision.
Amen.
Of the angels. So you could see God was moving in his body here.
Amen.
God was bringing the tabernacle in a certain harmony. And then when now it came time even to do practical things like make the pulpit, the prophet gets up and he says, Brother Woods knew what I liked. He never said he would build it, but he built it. And I just noticed the building. And oh, the construction. Oh my, it's supreme. There's no words to express my feelings. My brother-in-law, Junior Weber, had the brick masonry. I don't see how it could have been anything better than what it is. A perfect job. Imagine. Another brother who's here, I never met the man. He put in the sound system.
Amen.
Can you see all the different things now that have come together?
Amen.
In a harmony.
Mm-hmm.
Notice even a flat building like this, no rebound in the acoustics. I believe it was the hand of Almighty God who did these things.
Amen.
So this is Bezalel. This is Oholiab. These are people with crafts and skills that God has overshadowed them. In the same season, he's overshadowing the prophet.
Amen.
And the prophet seeing the great vision of how the tabernacle needs to be for those angels to come down. And he has certain people that come just with their crafts. They get in the same anointing. And they start now to bring forth
Amen.
Those very things the way that God wanted them to be. And then the prophet moves on now. Page 3, he says, may it be consecrated place to our Lord. A consecrated people.
Amen.
I've always wanted to see a place correctly in order.
Amen.
For God to worship with his people.
Amen.
Now, in this building, it's going to be dedicated in a few minutes to the worship of God. We should keep it that way.
Amen.
We should never buy or sell in the building. Amen. We should never do any business in this auditorium here. Should never be done. We shouldn't buy or sell in the house of our Lord. It should be a place of worship.
Amen.
Holy, consecrated for that purpose.
Amen.
Now that's why I've gone and shown you the qualifications of this man. He knew what takes place in the spiritual realm.
Amen.
And he knows how these things grieve the Lord. How these things affect the flow of worship in the house of the Lord. Now this may seem a little rude, but it's not a place to visit. It's a place of worship.
Amen.
We should never even murmur a word inside of here, outside of worship to
Amen.
One another, unless it's absolutely necessary.
Amen.
And I'm sure the deacons will do their best on that.
Amen.
We should never utter a word inside of here.
Amen.
No, we'll get on to it and we won't finish it up today, but when Brother Bram would speak about spirits that linger in the building,
mm-hmm.
I think he mentions a little bit further down the way he says, by your conduct after the service, allowing your children to run through the building and speaking those kind of things, you spoil the service that's coming on.
Amen.
My. You and I, friends, this is natural people look and say, but this man, he could look in the unseen.
Amen.
This man could feel a pull and he could see a disturbance and he knew what pleased the Holy Ghost and he knew what brought the angel down and he knew how the angel would manifest himself. And he'd come and say, if you want to spoil the meeting coming on, misbehave yourself in the auditorium. He says, now it's not a place to visit. We should never run through the building or let our children run through the building. Let's remember when we enter that sanctuary, keep still Amen. To one another and worship God.
Amen.
We do not come into the sanctuary of the Lord to meet each other. We come here to worship God than to Amen. Go to our homes. This sanctuary is dedicated to worship.
Amen.
So when you enter that door, be quiet.
Amen.
And they put it big in the tabernacle. Be still and know that I'm God.
Amen.
That was the scripture that had the front. He says the ushers, and he's speaking of when they had the church first dedicated, the ushers stood at the door to see that nobody talked. When you did your talking outside, you come in. If you desire to silently come to the altar and pray silently, then you walk back to your seat and you'd open up your Bible, read his word, or sit quietly. Then he gets on to the music. And then the music. Sister Gertie, she would play softly. That's important, friends. He's put a word they call softly. So when the people are sitting reading the Bible in quiet prayer, the music must be played softly. And listen the type of music it should be. Down at the cross where my Savior died. Some real sweet, soft music. My. He knew what the Holy Ghost liked. He knew what pleased the Lord. Some sweet, soft music. Then the song leader gets up, leads a couple of congregational songs. Then if they had some outstanding solo, but never just a bunch of carrying on. And the music continually playing. And then when I heard that, I know it's my time to come out. Then listen to how he hits it on the head. When a minister walks into a congregation of people praying, and the anointing of the Spirit, you're bound to hear from heaven. That's all. There's no way to keep from it. But if you walk into confusion, you're so confused and the Spirit is grieved, we don't want that, no.
Amen.
We want to come here to worship.
Amen.
So this man was well qualified, friends. Now he's hit a few points there, which we'll get onto just as we wind things up. But he's going to speak about bowing our heads in prayer and the importance of that. He's going to speak about observing the order of worship. Listen to this one about quiet time before church. This is from the Generations book, Brother Willard Collins, if you want to read it. It's very good. He says, through the years, we went to every meeting we could go to. We were in the Chicago meetings at the Marigold Arena in 1963. It was a place that was ordinarily used for boxing and wrestling matches. Brother Branham had already told us how to conduct ourselves in church. By coming in quietly and praying or reading our Bible before the service. So when we arrived, people were talking and laughing all over the place, just like it was a frolic. We went in and respected it as though it was the tabernacle. At the end of the service, there was a prayer line. And he'd already said, Brother Branham, that he wanted those people that he didn't know. But still, he called out Naomi, Brother Collins' wife. And said, that light is hanging over you.
Amen.
He would always come and visit our little camping trailer sometime during the meetings. And at this time he came and said, do you know why the Lord called your wife out?
Amen.
It was because you all respected the place like
Amen.
You did.
Amen.
It's not the big things. It's the little things that count.
Amen.
My, see how much attention heaven paid to that.
Amen.
You may think it's not important coming to sit quietly before
Amen.
Service. But God thinks it's important.
Amen.
And what you're going to get from the service many times is dependent on the way we come before the service.
Amen.
That's what he's telling us here.
Amen.
If you're going to come and be passing notes or talking or playing around and stuff like that,
Amen.
It's a confusion, friends.
Amen.
You're spoiling it for yourself. You're spoiling it for everybody else.
Amen.
And one of these days you're going to need it.
Amen.
For yourself, you're going to need deliverance. For your children, your family, you're going to need a deliverance. And because we've all caused a confusion, God's not going to be able to work.
Amen.
And friends, we need to come out of that Egypt.
Amen.
That's how things were done in Egypt. But when the cloud came down, there came a heavenly pattern. There came a heavenly vision. of how the order of worship, seventh seal worship, the order of unveiled worship, how God wants to worship with his people. Our friends, it's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
We'll take a little bit longer today, if you don't mind, a few more minutes here.
Amen.
Let's get to Isaiah chapter 6. I just want to show one principle from here. I said it to Brother James yesterday. He contacted me and I said, I was reading the Influence series. Because the Influence series shows us the order of worship. Amen. That's very powerful. Those influence messages. And in Isaiah chapter 6, listen how it starts off. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now, what does this mean? He's been following a man, an earthly pattern. And this man kept the pattern of worship well, Uzziah, for a while. Then he got out of order. He was called to be a king, not a priest.
Amen.
Then he withstood church order. When the priest came and withstood him and says, this will not be to your honor, King Uzziah. You shouldn't do this. And he got angry. And he got smitten with leprosy.
Amen.
And a man that God had used and was a blessing, like Bezaliel in his own calling, when he got out of order, it caused a confusion. It caused a disappointment.
Amen.
Isaiah was disappointed. He was confused. What does this mean? And the prophet says he did the best thing that he could do. He went down to the temple to pray.
Amen.
And now he's seen the disorder of the earthly host. Now this is going to be his 1963. Come up higher.
Amen.
And I'll show you the order of the heavenly host.
Amen.
And he gets there, verse 2. And above it he sees the throne of the Almighty. And above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
Is the Lord of hosts. And the whole earth is full of his glory.
Amen.
Oh, friends. He sees what's happening in heavenly worship. He's seeing a heavenly pattern of worship. He's seen an earthly angel, an earthly man, who broke order, got out of order, was smitten with leprosy and lost his position.
Amen.
And God's going to show him, this is how I want my servants to conduct themselves. The prophet now in the message Influence. He speaks about it. He says, speaking about these angels, he says he never saw that by Uzziah. He saw a mortal man can fall. But he looked at one that can't fall,
Amen.
Whose foundation is sure. Even the pillars of the temple moved at their voices. Think of it. Two wings covering their faces. Seraphims. Who stay in the presence of God have to cover their faces. Now what he's going to show us is Uzziah didn't keep his face covered. When he was in the presence of God, he should have kept his face covered. He should have kept his feet covered. Because to cover your face speaks of reverence.
Amen.
In the presence of God. And he says to us that means to bow your head. To bow your head, to humble yourself in that way, to respect and to reverence. And he says to cover your feet is humility.
Amen.
Is to stay humble before the Lord.
Amen.
And these seraphim, that's how they can stay in the presence of God.
Amen.
That's how they stay in their position up there. They keep their faces covered. They keep their feet covered. And they're always in action in the presence of God.
Amen.
They're always doing his divine command. So the prophet takes that now and he says, these angels never knew sin or anything about sin. They just burn the sacrifices to make a way for the worshipper. And they have to have their faces covered. What would that be up to the side of Uzziah? What kind of an influence is this? Now he says that these angels, when they came down from that anointed presence. When they came down to Uzziah, there was such an influence they had upon him. The whole temple shook. Their presence filled the temple. Uzziah said, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. The prophet says they kept their influence in the presence of God. By keeping order, they kept the influence. You see, when they kept their order up there, when they come down now, there's a heavenly influence. The message they would bring, the anointing that they would bring, that's what the prophet is saying. He says, watch, two wings, he covered his face. That means reverence before God. Bowing, covering his face. Like Moses. Yeah, and he starts speaking about different people. Now the point I'm saying this as we come to a close is the importance of bowing our heads. The importance of respecting what's being done at any one time. Listen about bowing your heads. Now the prophet, manifestation of the Spirit. Says, now mothers with your children, sometimes, especially when praying for epilepsy, it causes lots of trouble. You keep your children near you. And when I tell you to bow your heads, you do it.
Amen.
Remember this. As we start at the beginning of the meetings, it's the campaign, 1951. I'm not responsible for anything that happens to critics during this time of the service.
Amen.
Be it assured to you that these powers, which will be explained later in another service, there are absolutely demons that come from one and go to another. We'll start to realize that reverence is a defense.
Amen.
It's a spiritual protection in the house of God.
Amen.
When you respect and you teach your children to respect. I was speaking to our children about it. Listen to an example of this before we finish what the prophet has to say there. I think I have printed it out here. This is also taken from that book, the Generations book. I remember this woman and man came in and sat down at the back door as close as they could get to the door. You always know that the people aren't living right when they do that, you know. The lady was in the prayer line because she had epilepsy spells. And Brother Branham rebuked that thing for it to come out of the woman. When he did, the man that was with her let out a scream and held his neck. Brother Branham went back and prayed for him. The man was distraught, and Brother Branham had to comfort him. And Brother Branham said to him, the man said to Brother Branham, when you prayed for my wife, it looked like a bat came right out of her and came right into my throat. He had an awful time before they got him straightened out. But later he got up and testified and said, I came to make fun at the service here tonight, and I'll never do that again in my life. Friends, we don't realize in the spiritual realm.
Amen.
And the prophet, he speaks of Isaiah. He said, Isaiah went to heaven. He said he was saved, Uzziah. He said it was a leprosy in the flesh. He says, but in this day, it's a worse leprosy. It's a leprosy that strikes your soul.
Amen.
He says, when leprosy strikes your soul, you're condemned, you're damned.
Amen.
Oh, friends, we need to respect the order of God's house. You'll get leprosy in your soul.
Amen.
Sin in your soul, unbelief. And you open not only yourself, but your whole family up to unbelief.
Amen.
The prophet says, those children that died at the she bears because of the curse of Elisha, the prophet, was the parents' fault. Because they never taught the children to respect
Amen.
The order of God. And his prophet and the message. Oh, friends, Max said it in the Sunday school to say, we don't realize as parents what we say
Amen.
And the influence that we have. Then we wonder sometimes why our children behave in a certain way, why they manifest certain things when leprosy strikes the soul.
Amen.
Oh, friends, reverence is a protection. Amen. Just by bowing your head and humbling yourself, it protects you spiritually from those demons that go around. And I learned that when I was young as a believer. I think it was about 1988 in our church back home. It was a very outstanding thing that happened. And the God teaches. At the end of service, everyone got up and started to worship. And there was a certain new girl who had come and she had a demon. And she started to manifest a demon. She tried to run out of the church screaming. And the deacons caught her and brought her to the front of the church. And the pastor now started to cast out that demon. And he told everyone, bow your heads. Respect. Have reverence now. And as that demon was cast out, I was there. There was a brother in front of me, Brother Zivanai, Mateta. Brothers knew him. He was new. He just went flying over the back of the bench. Brother, da da da, bum bum. And he was lying on the floor. And we all wondered what's going on. And the pastor had to come to Brother Zivana and cast the demon out of him. And as sure as I'm standing out today, that demon left there. And there was a commotion at the back of the church. And there was another brother called Brother Richard. He was a new brother as well. And that demon struck him and he fell right down over the bench at the back of the church. And the pastor had to go and cast the demon out of him. And both of those brothers came and testified afterwards. They came as critics that day. They came with a spirit of criticism. And the prophet says, when those sons of Sceva came to cast out that demon of epilepsy, and they said, in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches, they never had the right protection, friends. The prophet says, that demon knew. Says, I know Paul. And I know Jesus. But who are you? And Brother Branham says, that demon of epilepsy left them, left that boy and went into the sons of Sceva. And they tore off their clothes in a fit. And they ran through the town naked. You see, approaching holy things.
Amen.
And not covering our feet. And not covering our heads. Sometimes we'll think it hasn't hit us, but you'll get such an unbelief in your life.
Amen.
You'll get such a curse in your soul. Such a curse in your family affairs and so forth. And if you trace it back, that demon got in somewhere.
Amen.
If you followed the correct order, that demon would never have been able to come in.
Amen.
But there was some breach somewhere that allowed that thing to come in. Brother Ram continues on. He says, an angel of God, he says, when I asked you to bow your heads, then quickly do it, see? Bow your heads, if I say, bow your head now. Sometimes epilepsy gets away from me. It's a horrible thing. And it just attacks a person. It'll jump from one to another like that. It's very vicious. Then he speaks about being in a meeting and he actually gives the place. And he says, I was in a meeting and they brought up a young child that had epilepsy. It was in a fit. The parents had to take a clothespin and wrap a rag about it and put it in its mouth. Because when it was having that fit, it would bite its tongue. He says, and I was trying to cast out that demon. He says, and there was a pull from the back. He says, there were 3,500 people, whatever it was, even more, 2,500, I think. He says, it was right outside the building. He says, but there was critics there. He says, and I could feel it, and that criticism was causing this demon not to go. He says, so I called Brother Richard Reed, who was the pastor of that tabernacle. It was in Arkansas, and he says, go out. There's a minister there. There's 28 people out there, minister in his congregation. They don't believe these things. They're mocking. Go and tell them to bow their heads and to reverence. And he says, Richard Reed came back to me and said, Brother Bram, they said, we're American citizens. We can worship the way we want. See, loud us here, friends.
Amen.
That's the enemy of God. And Brahma says, there's nothing I could do. And I said, Lord, don't let this child suffer. The innocent because of the guilty. He said, and I gave that spirit liberty to go where it desired.
Amen.
And he said, 28 people fell out there with epilepsy.
Amen.
28 people fell on the floor with epilepsy. And he says, they've got epilepsy up to today.
Amen.
Demons know where to go, friends.
Amen.
They know where to go.
Hallelujah.
When you pray for somebody and they heal, or somebody repents and unbelief and maybe a spirit of fornication, the spirit of what? Nicotine, whatever, departs from somebody. Brother says, demons hate being disembodied.
Yes.
They're looking for somewhere to go.
Amen.
They hate just being cast out somewhere. That's why Jesus said, you can go into the swine. And friends, if you've got unbelief, if you're not bowing, covering your head and covering your feet, they have every authority to enter into you.
Amen.
And that's where we accumulate a lot of things. We'll just take one more here when he speaks about it in the message, thirsting for life. No, in fact, this is on thirsting for life. He says, remember Acts 19. When a fellow thought he could cast out demons and went out and called over a man with epilepsy, the devil said, I know Paul, I know Jesus, who are you? You know what happened? They stripped their clothes off of him, had fits and run through the streets and everything. So just be reverent. Be real reverent. Watch this way. Do as you're told. Believe with all your hearts. Sit still and worship God.
Amen.
Then he says in the final one, an influence. One time they brought a man to hypnotize me. I guess many remembers that. They were going to have some fun out of me. I was in the auditorium and they brought him in. And I felt when the prayer line started, there was an evil spirit somewhere. And you see, hypnotism opens you up to demons, friends.
Amen.
The prophet says, you can always pick them and that doubt. Amen. If the prophet could pick it, the demons could pick it as well.
Amen.
They know exactly where to go. They think they don't. He says, and I looked around and I watched that darkness hanging over him. And I didn't want to say it, but I turned around and said, child of the devil, why has the devil put in your mind to do that? Because he's done that, they'll pack you out of here. And he's still paralyzed. Letter after letter saying, please come to him. I said, the only thing I know is for him to repent. You see, I never did that. That was your irreverence before God. That was your reverence before God. He says, we're not playing church, friends.
Amen.
You're dealing with spiritual beings.
Amen.
And that's the important thing as we close. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with spiritual beings.
Amen.
There's the angel of the Lord. He's a spiritual being. And there's a certain approach that brings a blessing.
Amen.
And there's a church certain order of worship that pleases him.
Amen.
And causes the virtue to flow forth. And there's the other side, the realm of darkness, and there's real spiritual beings, friends. There's demons of unbelief. There's demons of all manner of iniquities. There's demons of whatever you can think of, diseases, and all manner of things that Satan puts upon the sons and daughters of man.
Amen.
And the prophet says we need to learn like Uzziah from those angels, that if you want to stay in the presence of God, keep your place.
Amen.
And cover your head.
Amen.
And cover your feet.
Amen.
And stay in action with him.
Amen.
Let's stand.
Amen.
Let's come to time of worship, friends. Let's really thank the Lord and let the word sink in. And may the Lord help us.
Amen.
By the grace of God. I just wanted to say that we will, maybe not today, but we will. We'll change the order of praying for the sick because of that. I've seen it for so long that we need to do that. Now, when it comes time to pray for the sick, we'll set it in order. That the music must be music. It's not just worship, friends. It's got to be music when you're praying for the sick.
Amen.
And everybody's head has to be bowed. And everybody's got to be respectful and reverent. We all focus on one thing, which is the deliverance of the people that are being prayed for. So we want to just have a meeting with the deacons and trustees a bit again and put those things. But that's what we really need to do. To get our things in order according to the heavenly pattern.
Amen.
We've allowed it to be another way, but God has his way. And we want to get that sorted out. Let's sing that song, Speak My Lord, Speak My Lord. When the coal of fire touched the prophet, may he touch us as well.
When the coal of fire is sweetly
my
time of living will be over. Soon we'll gather for the harvest. Oh, may the Lord of harvest smile upon us. May we hear His blessed childhood.
Anybody here today and you wanting just to raise your hand to the Lord, say, Lord, I want my life in line with your heavenly pattern. Amen. Oh Lord, you shed the blood for me. Lord, you made the way through the veil. Oh, my sins and my iniquities have been atoned for, Lord, but I'm just wanting, Lord, to line up with your heavenly pattern for my life. Father, I just want to be in that place of divine harmony. Oh, when the prophet says that the bride, the same harmony between the father and the son will now be between the bride and the bridegroom. And you're looking inside of your own life and you're saying, Lord, as a father, I want the heavenly pattern, Lord.
Amen.
I don't want my culture, I don't want my custom, I don't want what the neighbors do, what my father did, but Lord, I want the heavenly pattern of a father.
Amen.
Lord, as a mother, I want to be an example of the Word made flesh. Lord, what your thoughts are, your heavenly pattern of motherhood. Oh Lord, I desire that in my life. Lord, as a servant of yours, let it be the heavenly pattern, Lord. Not my will, Lord, but thine be done. If that's your desire, why don't you just raise your hands to him in worship. Let's continue to worship him and say, Lord, just look on my heart, Lord. You see my desire, Lord. We've just come unto this place, Lord, to worship thee, Lord. Deal with us. Deal with our souls, Lord. Bring us into harmony. Let's sing, Brother Joel.
737.
Amen. Amen. Lord, you know what we need, Father. Yes, Lord.
When we walk in the
Lord. 737.
In the might of Jesus.
Brother Joel.
Brother Joel. Trust and obey. Not a shadow can,
oh yeah.
Not a cloud in the sky, but His smile quickly dry, fade away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear. Trust and obey, oh, trust and obey, for oh, there's no other way to be happy.
to burden the burden we bear, not to sorrow we share, but to toil he doth reach, he repay, not to grieve for a loss, nor to frown over a cross, but he's best if we trust.
Friends, it's not being smart, it's trusting and obeying. But there's something very powerful, let's bow our heads, there's something very powerful about obedience.
Amen.
And about respect, about reverence. And God so respects that.
Amen.
God so respects that order when the children respect the parents and the parents respect each other.
Amen.
And we respect the order of the house of God.
Amen.
Our friends, it brings down to something that's special. You know, in
the
upper room, they had to get into a one accord.
Hallelujah.
They had to get rid of all their different opinions and all their different ideas and let their souls all start moving in the same direction. And all start meditating upon the promise that had been given unto them by the Son of Man in the age. And once they got it all sorted out and they prayed and they're in one place and in one accord. Oh, friends, what a blessing came down in their midst. Oh, the channel was opened, and oh, here came the fire down upon the sacrifice because everything had been set in order. Is that not your desire, friend? Is that not what you want in your life? Let's just spend a short time speaking to the Lord, friends. I believe everybody wants to speak to the Lord today. Let's pray for the baptism, pray for blessing upon our brother that's going to be baptized. That as he goes down and he comes up as a living sacrifice, that the fire will fall inside of his soul. To lead him and guide him all the way. Let's just enter into a time of prayer. Father, we look unto thee upon this day.
Lord Savior, we ask, Lord, Father, Lord, in prayer with thee, Lord Savior God, Lord Father, Lord Savior, Lord, and Lord Savior, a constant relationship with thee, Lord Savior. Lord, in these things just come natural, Lord Savior God. We ask your grace, Lord. We ask, O God, your precious and beloved mercy, Lord. We are portion of this day. Keep us, Lord, even upon it, we pray.
Can pray for us, dear church. Let's bow our heads, saints. If you have a need before the Lord, as we close this part of the service, raise your hand to the Lord.
Father Jesus, we come before the Lord. We are grateful, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Your word, Lord, comes to exhort, Father, to rebuke.
Yes, Lord.
Father, Lord, my Lord, to set in line, Father,
Lord,
our lives, O God.
Yes, Lord.
For Lord, Father, when Moses was in the mountain.
Yes, Lord.
Father, you could see the things that were happening in the camp.
Yes,
and
Lord.
You gave Moses, Lord, the exact requirements, Lord, that they had need of in the camp, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus, we pray this day, Father, for Lord, you've given unto us, Lord, Father, our requirements. You've given unto us a word, Lord, and through our prophet, you said, Lord, all we need is in the book and tapes.
Yes, Lord.
Father, Lord,
yes, Lord.
Our Lord Savior, friendships, Lord, Father, we can look in the books and tapes, Lord.
Amen.
Father, even our type of jobs that we will desire, everything is in the word, Lord.
Amen.
Our relationships, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, Father, outside of this congregation, Lord, we can be led, Lord, Father, by that word again, Lord.
Oh,
our conduct,
yes,
especially, has been, Lord, touched today.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
It's all in the books, Lord, said God.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, these are not things that the pastor, Lord, is skinning out now, Lord, said God. But, Lord, this is, Lord, serving your word that was ministered, Lord, even in this day, Lord, said God.
Hallelujah.
Father, we take it with, Lord, Savior, a gratitude spirit,
yes,
Lord, said God.
Amen.
We are grateful, Father, that we have, Lord, Savior, even in this day, a message, Lord, Savior,
yes,
and
Lord.
A messenger, Lord, Savior, that brought us, Lord, Father, the exact ingredients, Lord, Father, to see us through, Lord,
yes,
Savior
Lord.
God. Father, we are grateful unto thee, Lord, this
Hallelujah.
Day, for this word ministered unto us, O
yes,
God.
Lord.
Lord, we desire, Lord, Savior, that this word, Lord, would be written, Lord, Savior, engraved on the tables of our heart, Lord,
yes,
Savior God.
Lord,
Lord, that we
Jesus.
Wouldn't, Lord, Savior, have to, Lord, Savior, manufacture it, Lord. But,
Amen.
Lord, it would just come, Lord, naturally, Lord, Savior God.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, all, Lord, Savior, brothers and sisters, Lord, would be in their positions, Lord.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
Oh God, Lord, Savior, executing their part.
Yes,
Lord,
Lord,
even in this part of redemption,
Hallelujah.
Lord, Savior God.
Yes, Lord.
For Lord, Father, if we think, Lord, Father, Lord, if Lord, Savior, Brother Andrew wasn't here this day,
oh,
Lord, who would minister, Lord, Savior?
Lord,
and
Jesus.
Brother Max, Lord, and the various brothers, Lord, Savior,
Hallelujah.
Not here, Lord, Savior, then how would our brother this day be baptized, Lord, Savior
yes,
God?
Lord.
All these pieces, Lord, had to be in place, Lord.
Amen.
Father, that when our brother would come, Lord, there would be, Lord, Savior.
Amen.
Father, Lord, Father, all things in order
yes,
for all
Lord.
The glory of your kingdom, Lord, Savior God. Father, Lord, Jehovah, we thank thee, Lord, that you've given us such a privilege, Lord,
yes,
Lord,
Lord,
to act out our part, Lord,
Amen.
Father, in this day, Lord, Savior God.
Amen.
Give us grace, Lord, Savior, for, Lord, it's a hard day that we live in, Lord, Savior
oh,
God.
Lord.
But yet, Lord, Savior, you've given us such a privilege, Lord, that, Lord, the prophet called it the golden age, Lord, Savior
yes,
God.
Lord.
Give us grace now, Lord, Savior
yes,
God,
Lord.
And let us
yes,
go,
Lord,
Lord, and ponder, Lord, even upon these things, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, that soul-searching word, Lord, that you've given unto us, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And, Lord, when we come back, Lord, Father, again, Lord, to thine house, Lord. Father, we be careful, Father, Lord,
Amen.
To keep these things, Lord, so that
yes,
God,
Lord,
thou
yes,
hast said it, Lord,
yes, Lord,
thou hast spoken it, Lord, even upon this day. Lord,
oh,
and we
Lord.
Believe it, Lord, so that God, and we desire, Lord, Savior, to execute these things
yes,
amidst
Lord.
Thine house, Lord. For Father,
Help
if we
Father.
Did, Lord, Savior, it would bring such a spirit amidst us, O God.
Amen.
Father, grant
yes,
us grace
Lord.
As we part.
Yes,
keep
yes,
us now, Lord, so that
yes,
God,
Father,
and in the rest of, Lord, Savior, the service, Lord, you, Lord, Savior, have preeminence, Lord,
yes,
and have, Lord,
Lord
Savior, your Father, Lord, control of the entire day, Lord, Savior
Praise
God.
Lord.
We look unto thee, Lord, Savior God, thanking thee, Lord, Savior, ever so much, Lord, for your word of exhortation, Lord.
Yes,
your
Lord.
Word of correction,
Hallelujah.
Lord. We pray and we believe and we trust that we will do as thou hast said, Lord, Savior
Yes,
God.
Lord.
Direct us now.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen. 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 Brother Will, could you get my computer on my desk? Thanks. Just a couple of announcements, saints, as we come to baptism is in 2 weekends' time. Not next weekend, the weekend after. We have Brother David Nash with us from the States. He's getting in Monday a week. Tomorrow a week, he'll be with us for a week. So he's going to be with us on the Friday evening. Oh, sorry, the Saturday evening. We'll have a special, thanks, Brent. The Saturday evening and the Sunday morning. So he'll take 2 services for us. He's taking 2 for Brother Tom. He's going to do the Wednesday evening. That's not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday. You'll do Brother Tom on the Wednesday, us Saturday evening and Sunday morning, and then you'll do Brother Tom on Sunday evening. So, you know, he's a fine brother. He's coming with his wife, you know, Sister Ruth's father. So we're really looking forward to that. Amen. Just to let you know, there'll be a Saturday evening service, 2 weekends time, special service with Brother David Nash. And then the first weekend of July, we have Brother Howard Searle from New Zealand. He's going to be with us. We'd wanted to focus a Saturday service more on the youth, but for everybody as well. He's coming to preach, and I'd really asked him. He's very good at it, to come and preach down the line of the Holy Ghost. So we wanted to have service Saturday and Sunday. He's going to take both days. So please be in prayer for that. You know, maybe Saturday focusing a little bit more on the youth, but for all of us. So that's Brother Howard Searle. Remember, you were there last time. He preached on empty vessels last time. I never forget. It was a real blessed message that he preached. Fine brother like him. So he's going to be with us at the beginning of that. Beginning of July. So please be in prayer for those. Let's come to the baptism. Let's open our Bibles. We'll just read a scripture and one quote, and then we'll baptize our brother. We're really glad to do it today.
Amen.
That the Lord is still calling his people. Acts chapter 19. Let's read the first 5 verses. Acts chapter 19. The same chapter where you find the sons of Sceva. But this is at the beginning of the chapter, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples there, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues, and they prophesied. And all the men were about 12. You may be seated. I just want to read one quote from the prophet. Just concerning this one of baptism. You know, water baptism is a wonderful thing. It answers to a clear conscience with God. We know that. You know, water baptism is an outward testimony to us today that our brother has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he has believed that when Jesus suffered and died, when the blood was shed on Calvary, that it was shed for him. Our brother Alex believes when Jesus was on the cross, like the song says, I was on his mind. You know, it was a personal thing that all of your sins of the past, the iniquities and transgressions and trespasses and the filthy things we've thought, the filthy things we've said, the filthy things that we've done, the things that we should have done that we didn't do, all of our sins and our iniquities, our transgressions were atoned for in the atonement of Christ.
Amen.
You know, and once you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, once he visits your soul, once there's that moving and that working inside the veil of your heart, and he draws you to himself. I was listening to somebody the other day from Ohio, Brother Chad Lamb. He just said something at the beginning of the message. He says, one wonderful thing this message did, it did away with the idolatry of the idea that God respects you because of your decision that you made. That God's mercies are based on that. This is no. The message came to sort that out. You never called me. You never sought God. God sought you.
Amen.
And that everything that you're doing is a response to his great decision that he made for us from before the foundation of the world. That's the wonderful thing. And we just catch the vision that we're his sons and his daughters, and we shouldn't have been living like chickens in the chicken yard and eating like the chickens and talking like the chickens and smelling like the chickens and dressing like the chickens. But there comes a time where the great mother eagle draws near, and there's the eagle's cry, and you start to realize something moves inside of you, and you start to realize, but I'm not born to be like this. I'm born to be like that. And you start looking at the great eagle, but we have to repent of what we did. No matter how much we were eagles, no matter how much our souls were ordained unto eternal life, we still transgressed the commandments of God, the precepts of God. We still sinned against him. So there has to be a repentance. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. And that's what repentance speaks of, is acknowledging the life that you've lived, that it was displeasing to God. Acknowledging that you deserved hell because of the way that you lived. Acknowledging that all of those sins that we did had put Jesus on the cross. And he had to stay there and suffer until those sins were atoned for. And we come now to water baptism, showing that something's already happened in our hearts. We've already made it right with God. Now we're coming to testify before the church of God that we've accepted Christ, that we're burying the old man. Like Ruth when she says, now your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Now where you go, I will go. Where you die, I will die. Nothing but death will separate you and me. So you've made a clear-cut decision. The old things have passed away, and all things in you now, God has done something, have become new. Now you need to start letting the seed grow and express itself by feeding on the word, by fellowshipping and so forth, to express what God called you to express. But the one thing about water baptism is there's far too many of us that we rely just on the water baptism. But the water baptism isn't the important one. It's the baptism of the Spirit that's the important one. Amen. Now the baptism of water shows you've got a clear conscience with God. It shows that you're now in fellowship and communion with Him. There's nothing between you and God for you to speak to Him. But it's still God above us or God with us.
Amen.
The baptism of the Spirit makes it God in us.
Amen.
You know, it's just that you're not just that you're looking at what Christ did for you, and receiving benefits from afar, believing unto eternal life. But it's when He comes and He tabernacles inside of you. When He comes and he dwells inside of you, which was His aim, as we said this morning. He always wanted to tabernacle in His people. That's always been God's desire. So once you've been baptized with water, I mean, I remember the desperation we had as young believers. Once we heard there was a baptism of the Holy Ghost, it was the most important thing to us in our lives. We would never be able to rest. We knew, no, I'm not yet. This work isn't yet finished. It started well. God's granted grace. I've responded. I've heard His voice. I've heard His call. I've gone the first stage, but we hadn't yet gone all the way. And that's an important thing. You know, and the prophet speaks about this in the Church Age book on page 147. He says in the Smyrna Church Age, he says, watch carefully and get this. Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Paul said, we just read it, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? This is the whole of our problem right here, the prophet says. People repent of their sins. They get baptized in water, but they don't go on and receive the Holy Ghost. You believe unto receiving the Spirit. And that's why you find many people who baptize and never go any further. They go back to their old ways, or they just become ineffective, powerless inside of their lives and so forth. It's that water baptism. There's no virtue in that water, friends. There's no healing power in that water. It's just water that represents a grave. It's cold water. It's just a symbol, a sign, an outward form. But it's what takes place in the heart, in the soul. That's what determines eternal life and what you're going to become. And that's what John, when he says, he that comes after me is mightier than I. I'm not worthy to unloose his shoes. He says, I'm baptizing you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You see, we can baptize you with water, but only he can baptize you with the Spirit.
Amen.
And it's something you have to thirst for. Something you need to yield yourself. It's something that's got to be the most important thing too in your life. Is that you say, Lord, I want to be sealed in my soul. I want to really have the true new birth, which is a baptism of the Holy Ghost, so that I can really say, all things have passed away. All things have become new. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died for me. So that's the important one. The prophet says, this is our problem right here.
Amen.
That's why I asked Brother Howard when he comes, because he's very good. He's been to a lot of youth meetings, conventions, and some very powerful testimonies of when he's preached to the youth down the line of the Holy Ghost. And I said to him, brother, when you come, please, brother, can't you come and focus on that? Because what can be more important than that, friends?
Amen.
No, we've set all things in order for what purpose? So that God can come and meet with His people. So that people can have a supernatural experience in their soul with God and have a reality of God. I mean, that's the whole purpose of us being here. And nothing else, everything else is secondary. People, the prophet says, the only thing I desire is to establish a true spiritual relationship between God and His people. He said, I didn't come to start something new. He says, I came to establish a true union between Christ and his people. And that's a spiritual union. And so as our brothers baptized today into the people that have recently been baptized, never forget that. That this is just the first stage. But it doesn't finish here. Listen to what he says. He says, people don't go on and receive. Believing on Jesus is the step in the right direction.
Hallelujah.
Which is towards the Holy Ghost. But the people stop there. They go as far as water and then they stop. They believe and then they stop. The Bible does not say that you receive when you believe. It is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? The exact and literal translation is, did you, having previously believed, receive the Holy Ghost? The people believe and stop. Then he continues on. This is next paragraph. He says, that is what is wrong with our fundamentalists. They have no power, for they stop short of Pentecost. Now friends, it's very good for us on a regular basis to look in our lives and to examine, do we have spiritual power?
Amen.
The prophet says the Holy Ghost gives you power in speech,
amen,
power in prayer,
amen,
and power to live a holy life.
Amen.
It's not you, it's his power. It's the
Hallelujah.
Gift of God. It's the greatest thing that God can do for you,
amen,
is to come and live in you. That's the most important thing. And if you're looking in your life as a believer, but you've never had power, you've only ever had doctrine, you've only ever had belief, but you've never had an experience of power inside of yourself, the prophet says, here's the problem here. We stop short. We don't go all the way to receive power. He says, they are like the children of Israel who came out of Egypt and stopped short of the promised land. Now, those children of Israel left about 2 million strong. They all journeyed together, all saw the same miracles of God, all partook of the same manna and water from the smitten rock, all followed the same cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. They were all in the same message. But only two reached the promised land.
Amen.
Only two were true or real believers. That is correct because the word tells us the rest died because of unbelief. Hebrews 3. Then since that is so and only two entered, then the rest were not true believers. What made the difference? Two stayed with the word. The
Amen.
Word said we are more than able to take the land. They knew they could because God had said it. So you can see right now that very few will ever believe all the way to receiving the Spirit of God.
Amen.
My, you've got to be like Joshua and Caleb. You've got to, it's got to be the most important thing to you.
Amen.
Everything else has to be secondary inside of your life, that you say, I desire to know Christ the way that he can be known. I desire a union with Christ, a spiritual union. I desire to enter within the veil to that place where he can fill me with his glory, fill me with his Shekinah. And that quickens something inside of you. And then you start to manifest what God has ordained you to manifest. So I just really would acknowledge, say to the saints being baptized today, the brother, and to each of us, let's not stop short, saints.
Hallelujah.
There's a danger of perishing in the wilderness. Because when they stopped short, they went round and around and around. Then they died in their lusts. And some died because of this. And some died because of that. And they die. You don't want to be in that kind of a condition at this kind of a time. It's the greatest thing that God could do. He says, repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift.
Amen.
It's a free gift. Christ has paid the price already. All he's looking for, a fully surrendered soul.
Amen.
Just to lay it on the altar, to give everything into his hands, say, Jesus, I'm yours. Doesn't matter if I become dirt to this world. Doesn't matter if my reputation becomes nothing. Doesn't matter if all people leave
Hallelujah.
Me and forsake me, Lord.
Amen.
I just want you. And I think the prophet says, if you come thirsty, you'll never go away thirsty.
Amen.
Let's stand. Let's pray before we come to the baptism. Are you ready, brother, to baptize? Do you want to go and change your clothes? Please, if you want to go now while we sing, you can go and change, bro. Let's sing a little bit. We'll wait for him to come back. Then we'll pray when he's ready, brother.
Started to walk in the light, shining upon me from heaven so bright. I pray the world in this holy zone. I started in Jesus and I'm going.
Hallelujah!
I'm going.
to hope.
Hallelujah.
I'm going through.
I'm going through.
I'll pay the price. Whatever I must do. I'll take the hope with the Lord's despised gold. I'm going through, Jesus. I'm going through. I got the hope with Jesus alone. Have for a pillow like Jacob a stone. Living each moment. Pathway and fail to go through.
I'm going through.
I'm going through.
Lord, I'm coming up, coming up.
I'm going through. I'll pay the price. Whatever I must do, I'll take the risk with the Lord's despised gold. I'm going through, Jesus. I'm going through. Oh, Father,
will you take up your cross? Oh, sister, will you keep work and count it as loss?
Set up our
hands and give to the poor.
I'm going through, Jesus. I'm going through.
Let's sing one more. Let's sing, I've decided to follow Jesus. It's no turning back. Aren't you glad you never turned back? It's the grace of God, friends. Victory is certain. Never turn back.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided
to follow Jesus.
Oh, I decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Oh,
no turning back.
Oh, no turning back.
Oh, the cross before me.
There will be
behind
me, Satan,
no turning back,
no turning back.
Oh,
if no one hears me, still I will follow. If no one hears me, still I will follow.
If no one hears me,
I will follow.
No turning back.
Oh, no turning back.
Oh, though no one joins me, still I will follow.
Oh, no one joins me, still I will follow.
Though no one joins me.
I will follow.
No turning back.
I have decided.
To follow Jesus,
no turning back.
No matter.
Father, we just want to come unto thee to thank you this day.
Amen.
That there's a way.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Father. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the way.
Hallelujah.
The truth and the life. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You said no man can come unto me.
Amen.
Unless my Father draws him first.
Amen.
Thank you for what you've been doing in the life of our brother, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for what you've done in his soul. Thank you the way you've met him already. Thank you, Lord, that even though him and our brother and our sister went away, Father, back to the old friends and the old ways, Father, how they came back desiring, Lord, just to press on with you. Father, what a sure sign that you're drawing them. Oh, Father, now we pray your blessing, Lord, upon each of our saints, Lord. Father, help us and lead us as your people. Let us go to the fullness of what you died for us. Bless this baptism. And Father, them that are on the borderline, Lord, them that are still considering, I do pray for them. I pray, Lord, that people would realize the lateness of the hour. I pray that your Spirit, Lord, would, Father, bring them in. And Father, just pray you would continue your wonderful work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Saints, let's baptize our brother. Amen. God bless you, brother. Alex,
yes.
You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You believe in nobody else.
Nobody else.
No Mary.
No.
Nothing else for your salvation.
Nothing else for
you.
Jesus.
Then you've accepted him.
Yes.
That he died for you.
Yes.
That his blood was shed.
Yes.
You've repented of your sin.
Yes.
You've confessed your sins to him.
Yes.
Gladly we'll baptize you in Jesus' name. If you want to turn around and sit with your legs straight, if you could. Yeah. Okay. It's cold. If you want to come a little bit closer. It's cold like the grave. And you only have to go in once. Because, Alex, of your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I gladly baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you want to stand up, right? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are sure to your word. Father, my brother's repented.
Hallelujah.
Lord, he's been baptized in your name. Father, you promised to give to him the greatest gift, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Overshadow the soul of my brother, I pray. Father, meet him, Lord, I'd ask. Guide him in his life that he may be a living testimony of you. That Jesus, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, how we curse any demon powers from his past. How we possess the gate of any enemy that would desire to linger. Any darkness that would desire, Lord, Father, to hold him back. Father, we curse it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just pray that the angel of the Lord, even as you promised, would encamp around him. That, Father, you would just continue to speak unto his soul. That, Father, you would continue to lead him and guide him. That he may sing, where he leads me, I will follow. And Father, may you be glorified in the life of my brother, I pray. Bless him as a husband. Bless him in his home. Bless him as a father when he'd be a father by your grace. Bless him, Father Lord, as an employee at work, as a saint in the midst of your people, I'd pray. Bless him in every aspect of his life, Lord. Let him be a testimony to his family. Father, let people see Christ in him, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, brother. Amen.
Close to thee. Close to thee. Close to thee. Let
my blessed hope,
oh my Redeemer,
I think of Him all the day. I sing for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my soul.
Hallelujah.
Redeemed in Him.
Hallelujah.
Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose love I do love.
I
do lovingly guard in my boast, and giveth me songs in the
world. Hallelujah!
Redeemed in Him, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been delivered.
the dead.
Give me all in my life to be for
Thee. Oh, give me all in my life.
I pray.
Give me all in my life.
I bless your name, I bless your name.
Hallelujah.
In your prisoner's chain, with me is my love. Hold us aside. Let's pray the night. Oh, they pray.
And in their pain,
began to see.
Oh, they began to see. The chains were
low.
I bless your name. I bless your
name.
Hallelujah.
I bless your name.
Oh, Lord, we worship you.
I
Brother Dave, you come and pray for us, please. Brother Dave Scott, just on Wednesday, just to answer a question to anybody who could be there, we want to just look at the topic, a meaty one, the Joshua Commission. It's an important one at this time in the message. I'd really say anybody wants to be there, pray about it. Let's fellowship around the word on Wednesday. Let's not forget Friday prayer meetings. What a blessing they're becoming. Let's support and see how God will bless and restore and lead us to where we should be.
Most gracious Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord, how thankful we are and how blessed we are, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, to be able, Lord, to be in your house upon this day.
Thank you,
yes, Lord.
Father God, we're so thankful, Lord, for your spirit, Lord. We're thankful for your presence today.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, from the start, Lord, of the services in the
yes,
morning.
Lord. Yes,
Father
Lord.
God, right now, till right up till now, this point, Lord.
Lord.
And Father God, how it makes us yearn in our bodies, Lord.
Yes.
For one day to be in that place where we won't have to part, Lord.
Amen.
Father,
Amen.
To be in that city, Lord, where there's no night, Lord.
Amen.
Father God, just to dwell in eternity, O God. Heavenly Father, Amen. We're thankful for the faithfulness, Lord, of your word.
Amen.
We're thankful for being in heavenly places in Christ Jesus,
yes,
O Lord.
Lord.
Heavenly Father, we take it, Lord, as a confirmation. Lord, that the word preached today, Lord, you came and confirmed by your
yes,
spirit,
Lord,
O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, how we want to ask you, Lord, for we needy people, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
But Father God, we need your grace. We need your mercies to help us, Lord.
Amen.
To help us to fall into line with your
Amen.
Word, Lord.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
We need your
yes,
grace,
Lord.
Your Holy Spirit, Lord. Father, to break down, Lord, all Amen. The shackles which Satan would put upon us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Shackles of reasoning, Lord.
Amen.
Shackles of work, whatever shackles of illness, Lord,
yes,
whatsoever
Lord.
It would
yes,
be.
Lord. Yes,
Father,
Lord.
We want to, Lord, according Amen. To your word, we'll Hallelujah. Trample over, Lord, our enemy, Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Father God, it's not by what we can do, but it's what you've done already, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, Father God, we pray that you'd put a willingness, Lord.
Amen.
In the heart of every man, every woman, every child, Lord.
Amen. Yes.
Father, let there be no one who's present here that would be lost, Lord.
Amen.
Father, but let it be, Lord, Jehovah God, that we'll all submit, Lord.
Amen.
Father, for Lord, we know that you are willing because you sent your word.
Yes.
Father God, Lord, won't it just have, Lord, what you have sent your word? Father, you said your word would never come back void, Lord.
Amen.
Father God, so, Lord, we remember even back in the time of Noah's day, Lord.
Amen.
When you sent out the dove, oh God.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, it wasn't like the crow, Lord, that it could feed on the flesh of rotting man, Lord.
Yes.
But the dove had to come back, Lord, to its resting place.
Amen.
Father, yes, so Lord. It is, Lord, let your Holy Spirit brood over us, oh God.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, just to help us in this time of need.
Yes, Lord.
But Father God, we are comforted, Lord. To see the great things that you are doing, Lord.
Oh, Jesus.
Father, we so thank you, Lord, for our brother who has entered the waters of baptism.
Amen.
Father, Lord, even Lord Jehovah God, just by his outward expressions, Lord.
Amen.
We can see what you're doing in his heart, Lord.
Amen.
And we pray, Lord God, that this is only the beginning.
Amen.
But Father God, even as you promised the gift of your Holy Ghost, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
It's a gift, oh Lord.
Amen.
Father, let him, Lord Jehovah God, just be in a condition to receive it.
Yes.
And every brother, every sister, Lord, that's in the same place, oh God.
Amen, Lord.
Father, we want to ask as well for blessings, Lord, for those saints in Carlo, Lord, Brother
Amen.
Greg and Sister Auger.
Yes,
Lord. Father, we trust you doing something for them, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
So continue
yes,
Lord. To be with them, Lord. Please, bless Lord. Them, Lord.
Amen.
As we desire blessings ourselves, Lord,
Hallelujah.
In our different places, oh
yes,
God.
Lord.
Father God, we want to ask you now as we depart from your house, Lord, just be with us, Lord.
Please,
give
Lord.
Us grace, Lord, to meditate upon the words spoken upon this day.
Amen.
Father, such an important word, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Give us grace in our homes to search our hearts, to search our lives, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father Amen. God, and to strive to fall in line with your word.
Amen.
That you will come down, Lord, and bless us, oh God.
Amen.
That you'll come
yes,
down
Lord.
And meet all our needs, Lord. Where there's healing needed, Lord, we trust that if we put ourselves in line with your word, you'd give us healing.
Yes,
Lord, where there's jobs needed, you'd meet that need.
Amen.
Whatsoever need would be, Lord. If we come approaching you in the way given to us, Lord, by your angel.
Amen.
Father God, we know the result that would come.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
Help
Lord.
Us, Lord. Bless us. Be with us now as we depart, Lord. We ask that you restore virtue, Lord, into the vessels you've used upon this day. Yes, our Lord. Pastor, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father God and Brother Max, Lord, even in the morning, restore virtue to them.
Yes, Lord.
Even the song leaders, Lord, yes, over God, the brethren with the music. Hallelujah. Father, just bless each one, Lord, as we go to our homes, Lord. May your Holy Spirit be with us. Give us traveling mercies, Lord, until we'll gather again. And Lord, we ask that we be in prayer for the upcoming meetings, O God.
Amen.
Lord, that there not be just another passing of a visiting minister.
Amen.
But Lord, it would be you, Lord. And that,
please, Lord,
Father, if you've allowed the brethren to come this way, there's something special for us there.
Yes, Lord. Lord.
May we be in preparation,
Lord,
Lord, for your prophet said, we get what we expect,
yes,
O Lord.
Lord.
Help us in all these things, Lord. Be with us as we depart now. Give us traveling mercies. May your angel, Lord, accompany us, Lord,
amen,
as we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless saints. Just to greet Brother Eric as well. I didn't greet you. One of us, bro. God bless. God bless saints. May the Lord be with you.
Hello, love.